Dear friends in Jesus Christ, think about this passage from the Bible. It says, the living know they will die. What about you? Do you know you will die? Sometimes we want to ignore that. We want to think it will never happen. However, though, God wants us to realize it's coming. Maybe some young people would say, oh no, I'm going to live forever. But these are some reminders that not all of us, but a lot of us have had reminders like, for example, our parents have died. I still remember right when my father died, years ago now, and this thought came upon me right away, and I'm thinking, oh, my father was the oldest man in my family, and now that he has died, now I have stepped up into that position, and that means I'm going to be the next man in the family to die. For many of us who are getting older, our health concerns are not decreasing, but rather they are increasing, a reminder that we are getting closer. Our bodies are not becoming stronger generally, but they're becoming weaker, and even sometimes our friends are beginning to die. Sometimes I'll visit someone who's in like a nursing home, and they're so sad, and they'll tell me, Pastor, all of my friends have died, and I'm the only one left. Boy, are they ever thinking about how their time is coming very, very soon. Okay, so we know we're going to die, and we know we can't stop the process. However, we can know and believe certain things and have this great measure of peace. God wants us to live that way day by day, having this peace, and he wants us also to have great peace as we think about our loved ones who have died in Christ. In the sermon today, I'm going to share some joy-inspiring truths that are spoken during a typical cemetery committal service. Many of you have not heard it, and I don't want it to be a situation where you died, I'm doing your committal, and you never get to hear it because it's your committal. I don't want that to be the situation because I think there's some good information here, so I want you to hear it now while you are living and you can benefit from it. So I'm going to talk about what's in this little book. I'm going to go right down through some key parts of a cemetery committal. Generally, when I do it, I kind of read it, I make a couple quick comments, and we have to keep moving. But here, though, I have just a little bit more time, so I hope you find it to be a blessing. First of all, we come to Job chapter 19 as we get into the committal, and it's a beautiful verse. Keep in mind, this is what Job is saying. Keep in mind that Job lived about 4,000 years ago. So try to imagine back then and think about the importance of what he's saying. He said, I know that my Redeemer lives and that in the end he will stand on the earth, and after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. Boy, isn't that so much pointing to his assurance of the resurrection? So he died a long time ago, but Job believed his Redeemer lived. Job believed that his own body would be raised to life, and Job believed that again with his own eyes, he would see his Redeemer. And of course, you know, that's the basis for the famous Easter hymn that we just sang, I know that my Redeemer lives. And then as I proceed in the committal, we come to John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. And what we have going on here is Jesus is making this important statement to Martha, and her brother Lazarus has died 4 days earlier. So let's think about what Jesus said to her. He said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Let's unpack that a little bit. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He's saying, I am the source of life. I gave people life, and I will give them life again. And then he said, he who believes in me will live, even though he dies. So what we're talking now, we're talking about people who are believers, and I hope that's true for you and me. So here we are as believers, we're physically alive now, we are going to physically die, unless Jesus would return first, we are physically going to die. However, though, we are physically going to be raised to life again. So death is not the end. And then Jesus said, whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Well, wait a minute. He just said we will die. Now he's saying we'll never die. What's that all about? When he said we're going to live, die, and live again, that is physically. When he says we will never die, that is spiritually. When we are believers, we are alive in two ways. We are alive physically, and we are alive spiritually. When our bodies die, spiritually, we continue to live, and God takes us immediately to heaven. We continue to live with God. Think about one of your loved ones who died in Christ. Yes, you might be sad, there's separation, but no, they are continuing to live. They are with God. So that takes the edge off of our sorrow when we know where they are. When my mother died 4 years ago, I was envious of her. I'm like, Mom, I want to die too. This world can be pretty difficult sometimes. I want to die. I want to go be there with you and with all who have died in Christ. Finally, Jesus said to her, do you believe this? Now, what Jesus said to her, these are some impossible sounding things, aren't they? But God wants us to know they are fully true. The Bible is true. We can rely on what Jesus said. I hope you say yes. No matter how impossible it is, I know God will do it. God must keep every promise. He will do it for me. He has already done it for my loved ones who died in Christ. Right after that in the committal, we come to what I'm calling a follow-up prayer. Now, you have the prayer right in your folder. I'm not going to pray the prayer now, but what I want to do is I want to look at a couple key phrases in the prayer. So first of all, we pray, with whom live the spirits of those who depart in the faith. So thinking about it, let's understand the departed spirits who died in the faith, they are not with us, but like I've said already, they are alive and they are living with God. Let's know that reality. And then in the prayer, it also says, we rejoice at your gracious promise that we shall rise again at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to share with you two key Bible passages here. First of all, going to John chapter 5, we have the words of Jesus, and he said, do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and will come forth. Now, whether you're in a tomb, whether you're in a grave, whether you have been cremated, it doesn't matter. When Jesus comes, every single person will be raised. Now you can read further there, the ones who believe will be raised to life. It will be awesome. The ones who died not believing, they will be raised, but it will be the opposite of awesome, but everyone will be raised. We see that supported right here in Acts chapter 24, it says, there shall certainly be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. The only way to be righteous is when we understand that we have sinned, that we are helpless to save ourselves. We have this godly sorrow within us, and by the grace of God, we are trusting alone in Christ. And when that is true, God sees us to be righteous, not because of anything right we have done, but because of the perfect rightness of Jesus. So when it talks about the righteous, that's what it's talking about. So everyone who has Jesus, they are righteous in God's sight. Everyone who doesn't have Jesus, they're in the other category. God is inviting all of us to be in this great category of being clothed with the righteousness of Jesus. And then as I continue in the committal service, we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So we look a little bit at the end of the chapter. It's a long chapter on many aspects of the resurrection, but coming here to verse 51, Paul wrote, "Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep. In other words, we will not all physically die, but we will all be changed." When is that going to happen? When Jesus returns. How quickly is it going to happen? Paul wrote, "In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality." So now, because of sin, the bodies of all of us are perishing. However, though, it says here the dead will be raised imperishable, so let's understand that when Jesus comes, the body of every dead person will be raised, and it will be transformed into an imperishable body, a body that will last forever and ever. That day is coming. And then also too here, we will be changed. Now that's not going to happen for Paul because he has already died. But what he's saying is, for all of us who are still physically alive when Jesus comes, now imagine how awesome this would be. Here we are all right now in our perishable bodies. And let's say 2 seconds from now, boy, Jesus came. What would happen? Immediately, maybe we'd feel like a jolt or something, but he would change our bodies from being perishable bodies to imperishable bodies. Just like that, it would happen. So all who are living, that's what's going to happen. What am I saying here? When Jesus comes, every single person, dead or alive, they're all going to have an imperishable or an immortal body. That is coming. And then it goes on in verse 54, "When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true." Now this is not true yet, but it's going to be true. "Death has been swallowed up in victory." What is going on now in the world? Death is reigning. So death is coming for us, and we can do nothing about it. That's what's going on in the world. But a day is coming when death will be swallowed up in victory. Think about this image here for a moment. So I want to focus on the topic of victory. So when we think about the word victory, it comes from the Greek word pronounced nikos. And that's also the same Greek word from which they're getting the famous sports company name Nike. Now, they're not talking about the victory of Jesus with Nike. They're talking about the Greek god of victory named Nikos, or Nike in English. So that's where they're getting the name. But still, though, the name of the company does mean victory. I want to share with you in a moment here a much greater victory. But, of course, you can see the Cleveland Browns last week. Oh, big celebration. Second win of the year. So big celebration there. And you can see right on the shoulders of those two men, we have the Nike check mark. So they are wearing victory and they are celebrating victory. I want to go a little bit further in the text here. So in verses 55 to 57, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." So we're not talking about a victory like in a football game. We're talking about something much greater. So with Jesus, he is the Son of God. He is the ultimate champion. He won the victory over sin, over death, over the devil. And what's important is that we would share in his victory. When we think about this, some people might say, well, this doesn't look very victorious to me. It looks like Jesus is the biggest loser rather than the biggest winner. But actually, the Bible told us, even from the Old Testament, that this is how he would win. He would win in dying. Can you imagine the forces of evil thinking, we are just about the biggest winners because the Son of God is about ready to die? But they did not understand that with his death, that is when he crushed the head of the serpent. This is when he defeated the devil. Now, he did that 2,000 years ago. What's important for all of us? Even though we don't see the victory of Jesus, it is critical that we believe it by faith. God has told us all about it. God's word is all true. We can believe everything he said. So God wants us by faith to know Jesus is the biggest winner, and when he comes, then with our own eyes, we're going to see he is the biggest winner. What is faith? Faith is really believing something that we cannot see. So he wants us to know the victory is real. We believe it by faith now, and one day we're not only going to see it, but we're going to share in it for all eternity. God wants us to know for certain these things are coming. So how do we share in Jesus' victory? Well, it's important that we repent. Repentance is to be aware of our sins, to turn from our sins, and by the grace of God, we are trusting in Jesus and who he is and all he has done. So God would say that to repent in regard to all people, whether they at one time knew Jesus and then they fell away, or for people who have never known them, God is calling everyone to repent. And for those who haven't been baptized, God is saying, be baptized, and in baptism, receive the forgiveness of your sins and receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And then being in Christ, what's so important is that we continue now in Jesus' victory. And the way we do that is by reading our Bible every day. This might not be true today like it was yesterday, but who is here today who has not eaten anything yet today? If you have not eaten anything yet, okay, so a number of you, that's true. Yesterday when I asked that at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I didn't have a single hand. Everyone had eaten something. So what I'm trying to say is when we are physically alive, we have hunger in our bodies and we're eating, we're nourishing our bodies. What God is saying, when we are alive in Christ, now we are spiritually alive, and this right here is our spiritual food. Could we even call the Bible soul food? Is that what we have here? But God wants us to know, just as physical food is so important, this kind of food is even more important. So read the Bible every day, and then what do we do with the strength that we have, this spiritual strength, this knowledge that we have from the Bible? Now we take it and we live it out and we live it to God's glory. We don't live it in order to earn heaven. We have the gift of heaven through Jesus. We're so happy about that. Now we want to try to honor God with our lives. Right after that, I come to the words of committal. I just have a few of them right here. But now I say to the people, we now commit our loved one's body to this temporary resting place. I want to remind everyone present that here we are at the cemetery. We have a hole in the ground. We have a vault down in there. The casket is up on top yet. It's going to go into the ground. And it seems so final. It can be so sad. And yet I want them to know this is a temporary location for your loved one. And then right after that, we come to this beautiful prayer. And I'm not going to go through the whole prayer, but you have it there. You can read it. You can pray it on your own. But what I want to do in closing here, I want to highlight four different phrases now in this prayer. So first of all, we pray, Almighty God, by the death of your Son, Jesus Christ, you destroyed death. Where does that come from in the Bible? We can think about the passage in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. It says, the Son of God appeared for this purpose to destroy the works of the devil. That is why God sent his son. So literally on Good Friday, as he was declaring, "It is finished," he was crushing the head of the serpent. Just as the Bible tells us here in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, Jesus did that on Good Friday. And then also in the prayer, "By his rest in the tomb, you sanctified the graves of your saints." So Jesus, he laid down his life on Good Friday. Before the sun went down on Good Friday, they took his body, they prepared it, they put it in the tomb, they rolled the stone in place, and then on Saturday, Jesus' body rested in that tomb. So as his body rested in that tomb, what's going on with our loved ones? What's going on with my own mother right now? Her body is in the grave, and her body is resting, and I can't wake her up, and no one else on earth can either. But when Jesus comes, he's going to wake her up, and he's going to give her an imperishable body. So there are exciting things coming. And then also in the prayer here, "By his glorious resurrection, all who die in him abide in peace and hope." Peace. We can think about peace in a couple ways, but think about it like this way first. Jesus is the Lamb of God. He took away the sin of the world. So because of what he did and because of our God-given relationship with him, there is peace now. In other words, there is a right relationship between us and God because of the work of Christ. Also, too, regarding peace, we can think about this and say, wait a minute, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they are the Almighty God. They are reigning over all things. They are in control of all things. So no matter what's going on in the world, no matter how bad it might seem, I can be at peace because I'm a forgiven child of God. God's in control, and no matter what happens, it's going to be okay. So there are various ways to think about peace. And then this idea of hope, let's understand that when the Bible talks about hope, it's not talking about wishful thinking, it's talking about certainty. So hope in the Bible is talking about a promise of God that has not yet been fulfilled, but we are certain that every promise will be fulfilled. So hope is a certainty. We know God will fulfill every promise that he has made. So talking there about the resurrection, as I mentioned earlier, when we think about our superfrontal, he is risen. When we think about Jesus, it looked like it was all over on Good Friday, and yet on Easter Sunday, God raised him back to life. So when we think about our loved ones, it looks like with death, it's all over, that's it. But when Jesus comes, he's going to raise everyone up. So he wants us to be certain that is coming. And then finally here, toward the end of the prayer, "Keep us in everlasting fellowship with all that wait for him on earth and with all in heaven who are with him, who is the resurrection and the life, Jesus Christ our Lord." So God wants us to understand that we have fellowship now with all believers. We are part of the communion of saints. So we have fellowship with all believers on earth and also in heaven. But something much greater is coming with the return of Jesus and the fullness of eternal life, and that fellowship that we'll have with each other will be forever and ever, and it will be even so much better than what we have now. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, we pray that you would continue to grow us in the truth of your word and grow us in our peace. Grant us at peace regarding us as we live, and also grant us at peace regarding our loved ones. For anyone who has fallen away, move them to repent, bring them back, and may you keep us all close to you until finally we are with you forever. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.